All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you there?
I am.
Fabulous. We are set and ready to roll. This is your MediaBits Power Hour, your educational opportunity to improve your advertising sales success. Whether we are talking about print ads, e-newsletter ads, website ads, the bundling of all three, we're going to always share with you the tools and the resources that will help you win. Strategies that by the time we finish up today, you'll be able to deploy immediately. That is always our goal. Between Jed and myself, more than 50 plus years of understanding of ad sales teams, the running of publications, working with groups all over the world, just like we're speaking here today. So bottom line, we know what we're talking about, and we've seen advertising sales evolve over a long, long time. We're always going to encourage you to clear your desk, turn off any electronics that would distract you, close your office door as best you can, and go ahead and take a look at the three key points we're going to be talking about today. We want you to make and take your notes. The more notes you make and the more that you take, it means you have to actively be listening and therefore will infuse or transfer the knowledge to you related to today. Also, we'll be fielding any of your questions during the course of our MediaBits Power Hour. Simply hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here or simply an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we will field your questions real time or well after or beyond we finish up the Power Hour here today. So, Jed, how about some opening words? What's cooking around MediaBits? Give us an update.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank Ernest. He does a great job with these teleseminars. I always learn a lot, and it's an honor having him involved. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you spending the time to listen and to try to increase your ad sales. MediaBids has been around for about 15 years. We are devoted to the selling of ads for publications. We've got several different methods that we use to sell ads, but we primarily use an online interface that allows advertisers to make purchases of print ad space in a way that they feel comfortable with. So we sell many ads every week and every month, and if you're not currently using us, we'd love to get your publication involved. If you are using us and would like to talk about using us more, we're always here and always happy to talk. So please give us a call. Please check out our website and think about using us. It's a great way to augment your more traditional sales efforts.
So. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And for those of you that are working with MediaBids, you know the quality of the work that they do, the revenue they provide. And I always like to say, Jed, that you and your company do business the old-fashioned way, which means you do the work, generate the results. You're a group of your word, and you can be well trusted. Your reputation is sterling with our clients and within the space and sector. So it's always a pleasure, Jed, working here together.
I try to tell the people who work here that there's an advantage for using those 1975 computers, and then that now I know what it is. We're doing business the way it used to be.
I love that. That's a thing of beauty. Okay, as long as when I use your telephones, it goes around in a circle with a little ring. Okay.
Right.
So my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising sales space since 1986, launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group based out of New York, launched Power Hour in 1995. We've coached and guided more than 2,000 advertising sales companies and their teams in 11 time zones around the world over the last 19 years. We provide executive and sales coaching, which means we help our advertising clients see what's possible and then help them find ways to accomplish the impossible. The bottom line, Jed, as you know, the hotter the kitchen, the more we love what we do. Out across the LinkedIn space, the single best sales and marketing opportunity we have ever seen in the ad sales world over the last 30 plus years. We've done a lot of work. We have 19 LinkedIn groups, We're getting ready, Jed, to cross 100,000 leaders on a daily basis. We would literally be one of the top 70 newspapers across North America as a daily newspaper if we were to measure that side by side. And for each of you and all of you, just know that LinkedIn is a massive selling and sales opportunity. It is the reason why we provide expert sales coaching on LinkedIn. It's also the reason why we have a sales academy every Tuesday that helps you with your advertising strategies, and we'll weave in some of those things as we roll along. Bottom line is, we're here to help you. We want you to win, and during the course of any of our MediaBit Power Hour calls, there's three goals. It's always about new ideas to stretch your thinking. It's about confirming what you're doing, our best practices, and then lastly, the other serendipitous ideas that percolate along, because whenever we're working here together, we know that you're not working in your business. You're not distracted by all the things that are moving around. You're working on your business, and we love this this window of time that we work. So today, we are going to be talking about the side of powerful presentations, right? Powerful presentations drive new ad sales, and the more powerful your presentation, the more successful you're going to be. Now, I'm going to set the bar really high because it's the only bar that we set whenever we're working with ad sales teams, and the goal is, and our focus is, and the results are to close 100% of every selling opportunity that is in our sweet spot, okay? That is what we're focused on. It means you have to be the best prepared. It means that you have to be supremely confident. It means you have to know exactly why you are the best in your space and sector, and then exactly why you're better than every single competitor in the sector. And if you don't have that confidence, then you're not going to close 100% of the opportunities. It means you either haven't done the research, haven't done the prep, or don't have the tools and resources to have that level of confidence. Now, I want to just roll the clock back for a minute. I do want to say that I do appreciate that our advertising sales world has become more complex. I wish I could give you a magic wand or fly you on a magic carpet, but those days are over. In fact, you know, when I go back, and Jed, we go back to the 80s and think about what it was. There was a newspaper, there was a phone book, there might be the City Magazine. That was about it. Through the 80s and 90s, we started to see some of the niche free publications, the Auto Traders, the Shopper publications, the apartment publications, the real estate. We began to see those. And then as we curled our way into the 90s, literally the birth of the web, and for $10 today, I can be your competitor. The world has significantly changed. So instead of having three competitors or six competitors, it's fair to say that you could have 16 or 106 competitors, okay? And we have to be more knowledgeable, and we have to do more work to be successful. But the good news is that if you're willing to do the work, you will be successful as other ad sales reps don't know how to do it or are lost of what needs to be done, and therefore advertisers are confused. You need to be the calm in the confusion. You need to bring calm to the chaos and be able to walk and talk how you're different from these print publications, how you're different from these email newsletters or websites or all three. Okay? So just some opening words related to that, tied to powerful presentations and syncing up with new ad sales. What we're going to kick off here is we're going to be talking about the 9 most frequently asked questions that happen during a presentation. Okay? Now, as you listen to the list of 9, you're going to listen to Jed and I bantering back and forth. But it's also going to spur your thinking. How do these questions sync up with the questions that you have? Maybe you're going to hear our 9 and it'll spark 9 more. Beautiful. High five. That's what we want. These questions also go on to become the questions that you and your team want to be role-playing on a weekly basis. So if you listen to our 9 and you add 9 more, you've got the next 18 weeks, every single week, to take one at a time as a team, banter and role-play. Every single week, there should be at least 10 or 15 minutes collectively as a group that you take one or two of these points and role-play them. How do you handle this, Susie? Mary, how about you? Tim, how do you overcome this? Let's role play it. I'll be the buyer. You be the seller. We need to practice these, handling these questions, just like, you know, today is Tuesday, tomorrow will be Wednesday. And you have to be able to state and handle these kinds of questions just like that. Okay, so Jed, I just wanted to set the sort of foundation before we go down the 9 points that we're going to be covering. Any additional comments or thoughts about all the clutter in the market space and everybody clamoring for the same advertising dollars?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, and it's become much more complex, and the expectations and the there's just the expectations of advertisers have really changed. So it's no longer just about kind of being there, right? It's about bringing something to the table, and I think that. The bad news is that it is certainly there's more competition and it is more complex. The good news is that there are lots of ways to get around it and to be successful, playing by the new rules. So it's not a hopeless case at all.
And actually, Jed, in that capsule of the bad news and good news, you summarized our entire MediaBits Power Hour. That concludes today's program.
Hey,
you just covered the last page of the book, man. I don't want to read all the chapters. I know the ending. Thank you, man. That's good. It is, and you know what I'm saying. What we're saying to all of you is that it's not easy being an advertiser or a buyer or an ad agency on the other side. Don't think they're whistling Dixie. Their world has gotten crazy confusing, okay? So have a moment of empathy and then realize that what your job is to do what? Bring clarity to that chaos. Bring calm to the confusion, okay? Maybe Jed will produce some bumper stickers with those words. What do you think?
Good idea. I think there might,
right,
be a 12-step, might be a 12-step program in there.
Very good. Let's work our way through here. Question number one is out of the gate. Why should I advertise with you, right? And that's some version of why are we here or what brought us here. You've gotten the appointment, you've gotten the meeting, we all get through the happy, the rapport and the yip-yap and how we know each other, and then we settle in and it's, so what have you got? Or, hey, tell me about your company or tell me about your advertising. That's right out of the gate. And we have the opportunity within the next 30 to 60 seconds to capture their thinking. All right, we have the opening words to be able to begin the process of, we've got the best readers who are focused on purchasing RVs, who are making purchases on a regular and ongoing basis in this portion of St. Louis or wherever your market is. And we have twice the circulation and 100% more results this year than last year, or whatever it is, whatever the compelling words are. You see, the key piece is, if you don't handle this question by disrupting the flow, then what you're going to have the other person thinking on the other side of the table is, sort of happy with what I'm doing, sort of cool with what I've got going on, sort of making, nice investments in what I'm doing with my advertising. I don't have any compelling reason to change. If you can't disrupt their thinking, if you're not able to disrupt their flow and engage them, and you know when you've disrupted, when they interrupt you. Wait a minute. Well, I'm sorry. What is that? You have twice the number of website visitors this year? Hang on for a second. Your publication is the only one at the Home and Garden Show in Philadelphia? Is that what you just said? You mean no one else will be there? See, that's what it takes. So your opening words set the stage for the rest of your presentation. Point number one, we must be disruptive and we must call out our USPs. Now, number two, how many do you print? Or how many email newsletter readers do you have? Or how many website visitors do you have? That begins sort of the more granular, the most frequently asked questions go right down the next path. So tell me a little bit, what are you printing? Who do you have? What do you have and what do I need to know? This is your opportunity to begin to walk through, and always remember that all the numbers that you share and you showcase are always annualized. And Jed, we show those annualized numbers. Why? Because we want annual advertising agreements as well. So everything we quote, we're not quoting 10,000 this month. We're quoting 120,000 annual. And if from our survey there's another pass along of 2, then we have our readership of 200,000 annualized. That's how we walk through those numbers. But always remember as well, when we're talking about readers and we're talking about website visitors and we're talking about, you know, our publications, and we're talking about our newspapers, our magazines, our websites, graphs are wonderful visuals. So, Jed, if we were at our website, you know, once upon a time showing 1,000 website visitors a year, which has grown to 10,000, which is now 100,000, that graph looks like a hockey stick, correct?
Right.
Right? It shows a visual. So a picture paints 1,000 words. If you control distribution and you are in 94 of 96 grocery stores with free distribution for your free real estate publication, a pie chart shows that. All right? Everything and anything that you can compare and contrast. I was working with an advertiser, Jed, last week, one of our advertising teams, and they said to me, you know, Ernest, you know, I've got competitors, and I want to show a graph of my paid growth has been growing 4 and 8 for like 3 years. I said, great, but what about your competitors? Well, it's a funny deal. They're not going backward, but they're adding more and more fill. I said, huh, that's interesting. Why don't we build 2 graphs? We'll do one graph of their pages versus ours and show that, and then we'll overlay another 2 lines that show in a different color how many fill pages they have versus how many you have. And the team shrieks going, oh, my God, that would tell the story. I said, yeah, that's what you have to do is disrupt the status quo so that an advertiser sees, in fact, that what they think is your direct competitor that's just business status quo, they're actually declining even though the page count is not. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah. Yep, right, because there's lots of ways to measure, you know, sort of measure success.
Absolutely. And that ties into point number 3, which I know is a hot button for you, which is the question, you know, so, you know, do you know that your ads, you know, are your ads working? Or which ads are working? Or how do you know what's working? And Jed, you've done entire Power Hour Media Bit calls here that all focus on that topic. The importance of what? What are you tracking and what are you measuring? What is your cost per call? Cost per lead? Cost per sale or transaction? What is the return on the investment on the other side? But Jed, how about some words from you about tracking and what you know and we know about the tracking of advertising?
And this, folks, is what I say on every call, no matter what the topic. It always comes back to this. One of the disadvantages that print has is that it does not have a ready-made way of tracking the results that are generated from ads. What we do here at MediaBiz with almost all the ads that we place is we insert a unique phone number into every ad that goes out. So what we're able to do is see how many calls are generated by each individual ad. I would encourage you to do something similar to that because it gives you such valuable data about the types of response that each advertiser is getting. And for a relatively minimal cost, you really get an insight into exactly how it is each ad is performing. You know, you're able to see, for example, that a mattress store, just to make up an example, is getting decent response. That they're getting, you know, 10 calls a day for the first week that an ad is out, for example. And then if that mattress store chooses not to renew, that's data that you own, that the publication owns, and that you can then take to another, to a competitor, and you can say, hey, look, you know, this is what I'm bringing to the table. This is what my readers are responding to. And it really changes the equation because no longer are you selling space and hoping that the advertiser can see the value in it. You're selling space and proving to the advertiser and showing the advertiser the value that's in it. And in the cases, much more rare than you might think, where an advertiser is not getting the kind of value that they want, it's also a completely different type of conversation. Because what's happening is you're going to the advertiser and you're saying, hey, this ad isn't working. Let's change something. Let's try a different offer. Let's try a different creative. Let's put it in a different part of the paper. Let's, you know, you're being proactive and you're taking steps to have the advertiser be successful. As opposed to the way that it oftentimes works now, where, you know, you say to the advertiser, you know, you want to renew your contract, and sort of depending on their mood and depending on, you know, what sort of shoddy tracking system they might be using, they decide yes or no. But no, but you as the ad rep never really understand what the true value is, right? You never really get from the advertiser, or I should say it's rare that you get from the advertiser, you know, a real idea of how the ad performed. So that, you know, is using unique phone numbers, just, you know, it's just one way. You know, you can also use unique URLs, you can also do QR codes, you can do lots of different things, but using unique phone numbers is perhaps the easiest and most effective way to get a real insight into how your readers are responding. You know, it's not perfect. It doesn't measure sales, for example, and it doesn't measure, you know, ultimately the revenue that's generated off of the ad that's running in your publication. But it sure gives a pretty good insight into where it's headed, and it gives you a real talking point.
Absolutely, and we have entire MediaBid Power Hours that Jed has done that talks about size of ads, statistical data about the ads, what works and what doesn't. Last month we did one all about classified ads and then how to use classified ads to go to expand into larger advertising campaigns. There's a wealth of educational programs. So circle back to the MediaBid site. We'll send it also as a follow-up from today, and you'll be able to go back and re-listen to those. Let's go to point number four. You know, again, we're focused on the 9 most frequently asked questions. Who are your readers? You know, tell me about who reads your publication, who comes to your website. Tell me, what do you know about them? You know, this is our opportunity to shine. This is where we start to talk about reader surveys. And minimum, at least once a year, ideally twice a year, your reader surveys are absolutely key. Then you overlay that with other industry trends and other buying data, demographics, psychographic information, so you have supporting information external. It might be driven by your particular association. Imagine if we're talking about auto dealers, for example. You know, what are the national associations talking about the typical car buyer? What are you getting from your state, region, province that's sharing with you? What's happening with typical car buyers and research? For example, a very simple data point of how many times a person comes back, you know, once they look at a car, how many, what the average purchase size, the average upgrade being made is, all kinds of information. And then you tie that right into your own readership surveys, and that supports what you're doing in point number four. Bottom line, you have to know the jargon and the sector that you're in as well or better than your advertisers. You want them to come to you because you're a trusted resource. You want them to come to you because you are a thought leader in the space. Each and every one of you are. And you might say, Ernest, Jed, how can I be a thought leader? I'm not an auto dealer. No, but you spend all day long at auto dealerships. You'll be in and out of more auto dealerships from Monday to Friday this week than most in auto dealerships have worked in their lifetime. Now think about that. It means you're hearing best practices, you're hearing what's working, you're seeing what's not. You know, you're in and around the dealerships, you're learning about what's going on in their biz, you're hearing more jargon, you're being invited to meetings, you go to their association events and so forth, which we'll talk about in a minute. So you see, you do have more knowledge. In dog years, in the span of 6, 12, 18 months, you know the sector at the back of your hand. Now, for those of you who have more general newspapers or general magazines or business kind of publications, you've got to be certain that you take a look at where your revenue is coming from, your top 2 or 3 or 4 categories, and you go into those categories. There's no way you can be an expert across 50 categories, right? For some of you, for example, that work in the green or healthy living space, you can't go from a vitamin shop to a fitness store to chiropractors all the way across all these sectors. You have to take a look to see where most of your ad revenue is coming from or where most of your potential revenue is, which is where you want to go. Okay, so point number four.
Right.
Point number five.
And you know, Ernest, just to add really quickly to that, you know, that sort of gets back to point number one, where, you know, it's really important to realistically establish your unique selling proposition. And you know, I talk to papers and publications all the time who have readerships that are, you know, extremely wealthy and all own big homes, and there are a lot of advertisers who are not looking for that. And so if you can realistically sort of portray who your readership is, you know, ultimately I think that benefits publications, because the generalization of advertising has really gone by the wayside. You know, no longer is there just one place where all advertisers need to be. You know, if the internet has done anything to advertising, it's made it very, very segmented, right? So if you're in North Carolina and you're looking for an RV and you have an income under $60,000 a year, you know, there's a group of advertisers who are going for you, you know, as opposed to, you know, North Carolina, family of four, income over $60,000. There's a different group of advertisers. So publications, I think, sometimes make a mistake of trying to be too general, trying to be everything to everyone, as opposed to just being really focused and appealing to a group of advertisers for whom they're going to produce the best results.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And Jed, that really is the essence. I love you weaving back USP, which for all of us stands for our unique selling proposal, our unique sales proposition. What sets us apart? What do we do better than everybody in our sector? And then, which is what we're focused on today, how do we make that presentation? How do we give that presentation in a way that it is so compelling that the advertiser or the prospective advertiser or ad agency or key buyer is interrupting you and stops your presentations in 12 minutes and you're done. Sale is made. Pull out
right.
your agreement, press hard 3 copies, you're done. If you're not getting that buzz, if you're feeling like you're wandering for 45 minutes and they give you the, well, we'll get back with you, then you're not topping that presentation. You have not given all that is required. And just as a little preview of where we're going to wrap up here today, we're going to talk about 4 of the 18 most important areas that go into a media kit in a presentation. Okay, so we'll come around the bend. Let's continue.
Ernest, can I just tell you one really quick story along the lines of what you just said? We just did a proposal for a national tax company, and their sweet spot where most of their customers nationwide earn less than $50,000 a year. Our job, we're buying about they're going to buy through us about 400 publications in the U.S., and we struggled. It took us weeks to find 4 publications that would admit to us that the average salary of their readers is less than $50,000 a year. We couldn't find them. I mean, because you look statistically at what people in areas make. You know, for example, I'm just gonna Jacksonville, Florida, right? You know, you could say, okay, the average salary in Jacksonville, Florida, the average income per family is about $40,000 a year. But you know, you talk to the paper there, and the average salary of the person reading their paper is, you know, 75. I'm only bringing this up to sort of prove the point that it doesn't always benefit publications to try to skew the numbers a little bit to be sort of all things to all people. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, it is a great point. Be who you are. You know, I'll hear, you know, our publication isn't big enough, or my website is too small, or my newsletter isn't big enough. And I say, hang on for a second. You have to be who you are. You have to tell the story of who you are, and you have to be prepared to both defend, justify, and explain, right? If you tell me that, you know, you're getting on average 10,000 visitors to your website, great, I should be looking at your Google Analytics report, okay? If you say that you've got 7,400 readers of the newsletter, I should be able to see 7,400 that went out to. You have to be able to back and defend. If you say you direct mail 20,000 coupon publications, I should be able to see your post or receipt. And this is all about seeing is believing. Your presentation has to work and weave all of those principles in. But it also has you pause going, but if it's not enough or not good enough, then you as a team, you as a sales leader, you as the owner of your company, you have got to deploy a strategy that says, we're glad we've got 7,400 email newsletter readers, but how do we get 700 more, and then 700 more, and 1,700 more? Because it's a function of we have to continue to focus on the growth of our audience so that our story becomes even more and more compelling, and that advertisers stop us 6 minutes into the presentation and say, I'm ready to go. Okay? Point number five of the nine we're going to cover, what works best, your print or digital? Lord knows, Jed, we hear that.
Yeah.
What works best? Or even, you know, what are you doing on the digital or what are you doing on the print? Okay? And this is your opportunity to talk about the full bundle. We want you talking about your print plus your newsletter plus your website. We want you to weave all of those pieces in. And a number of you ask questions related to that, and we're going to be fielding in just a minute or two some of those questions that are coming in. And those of you that have additional questions, roll those into us, and we'll weave them in. Bottom line is you want to be talking about what you're doing in print plus newsletter plus digital. You have a full bundle, which is the most proactive way. And for those of you that are joining us today and listening to this educational program, if you don't have those things, you need those things. If you don't have those things, you are not selling with enough USP to stop an ad buyer 6 minutes in. And if you want to know why you're 36 minutes in and they're falling asleep on the other side, and you're going to spend the next 6 weeks following up to never get a sale, that's the reason why. You're not talking their language. Okay? Point number six, and Jed, one that we hear also constantly, isn't everything going to the web? Do you want to say some words about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, in terms of isn't everything going to the web, the issue really here is am I going to get better results on the web? And again, it sort of comes back to the tracking that I talked about earlier. One of the things that the web does fantastically well is offers easy tracking results to any joker out there, right? And you know, if you've set up your own AdWords campaign for your own publication, you know exactly how it works, right? You put in the amount you want to pay. You then get to see results. You see exactly how much you spent. It's just, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just beautiful, right? It's not the way that publications have traditionally thought about advertising, and still don't, and that's okay. The difference, though, is that just because results are not being gathered from print does not mean it's working, right? A lot of advertisers see the fact that results are given to them by, you know, through Google and through other online advertising alternatives, and they assume that because they're seeing those results and they're not seeing, you know, and they're not getting the same type of reporting from print, they assume that the print is just that the results are non-existent. When in fact the truth of the matter is that print just fails to gather it all too often. So again, it sort of comes back to tracking. If you can offer a tracking mechanism for your advertisers, and you can then show them that data what you can very, very often show them is that print is in many ways more cost-effective than online advertising. Online advertising, especially Google and Yahoo and the pay-per-click search engines, you know, what they tend to be very, very good at is getting people to click and getting people to, you know, and charging advertisers, you know, $1, $2, $3 for a click. When you go a little deeper and you see what actually happens to those clicks and you break it down on a customer basis, you know, print competes with anything. And so it's really just a matter of getting enough information so that you can have that conversation. It's shocking to people because they assume that because it's online, it's better. But it just isn't true. And in a lot of cases, you know, print can outperform online. Again, but the only way you know it is if you have some data and you're able to show, you know, able to show your advertiser, this is what's really going on out there. This is what we got. So, so to answer the question, sure, it's, you know, more and more advertising is going to, you know, is going to digital. But that doesn't mean that that old mediums aren't working just as well.
Yeah, and Jed, you make such a great point. And he or she with the most information that understands what's happening on the web, that's understanding what's happening with their print, that's utilizing the tracking that Jed is speaking about, that is deploying the phone tracking that I talked about earlier, this phone tracking piece. I mean, look at some industries like realtors. Realtors haven't run an ad in more than a decade without tracking numbers. Apartment communities, car dealers, RVs. It goes on and on and on. There are so many sectors, right? So if you're doing it and your phone, your ads are being tracked correctly, then you understand exactly what we're talking about. And if you're not, we're stretching your mind to a new place. Recognize for more than 10 years, in some cases, some industries more than 15 years, this has been out here. And in fact, and this is a bold statement, if we in the publishing and ad sales space were deploying all of the tracking and the phone tracking, we wouldn't be feeling the pressure of the online who came in from hello, didn't really know what they were doing in terms of measuring ad results, and had to deploy the tracking from hello. And you look at the success of Google and other ad mediums on the web, and they're eating into our pie because they're saying, we won't even begin to talk about advertising without a click being measured and a phone call being counted. End of story. Okay? Let's continue. Point number seven, one of the most frequently asked questions or comments is, I handle all my own social media. Why do I need you? I handle it myself. And the simplest response to that is we love when our advertisers are doing that, and we love that you're out there driving your own piece. But the simplest analogy for that is you're going to go out with a garden hose in your business and go out and water each of these areas. And in fact, when I looked at your Twitter account, do you know the last time that something was posted? December. Gee, I was looking at your blog on the social media. I haven't seen anything there in 6 weeks. Were you aware of that? We take care of all of this for you. Okay, we're out amassing 480,000 readers. It's like an automatic sprinkler system. We're out there watering for you 24/7. It's the reason we've been in business for 18 years. It's the reason why we have this circulation, that editorial. It's the reason why we have this exclusive at that home and garden show. These are all the things that we're able to do on your behalf. So we want to encourage you to handle your own social media. But recognize we deploy all of that in spades, all of that in aces, and we're there for you every step of the way. And here are the results that validate that. Point number eight, what does your advertising cost? Okay, does it cost $800? Does it cost $8,000? How does that compare to other competitors in your space and sector? Well, as a starting point, it's not the dollars, it's what? The cost per thousand, the CPM. The cost per thousand is the great equalizer. Jed, you've got 10 apples, I've got 4. Which is more expensive? I don't know until we break it down on a cost per apple. A side-by-side comparison tells me what it actually looks like. Jed, you're Your 10 apples might be $8, and my 4 apples might be $6. But until we break out the number of apples and the cost per apple, I don't know, other than the aggregate amount, what yours are, what mine is at the cash register. And the same
right.
thing has to be done competitor by competitor by competitor. Okay? We have to be able to know what the answer is to that. This is part of sorting out the chaos and sorting out the confusion for those ad buyers. It's a very important piece. And then, related to that, and we'll wrap up here on this first point, is that, hey, you know, I already have advertising in, you know, other places, other websites, other newsletters, other print publications, other competitors of yours. These are the things that you can anticipate. I'm already well-placed. Status quo is good. And this is where we weave in and begin to respond utilizing our media comparisons. One of the signature bodies of work around our Power Hour work that we do with our clients, that we also weave into our Tuesday sales academies with our academy members. This is a really big deal. The use and understanding of a media comparison is such a big deal that we typically cover that twice a year. We just finished covering it last Tuesday. It's the single most important tool. It handles the specifics of what you bring. It showcases your USP. It addresses your CPM. It handles tracking, cost per lead, ROI. All of those things have to be in place in terms of handling the most frequently asked questions. Now, one more quick comment here. For those of you that have editorial, you have one more point, and that is you're going to get questions related to, tell me about your editorial, tell me about your editorial focus, and let's recognize we're certainly going to have that piece as well. So, Jed, any additional comments related to the last couple of points before we shift gears and talk about associations and presentations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, I'll just sort of reiterate what we talked about earlier. I mean, one of the things that came to mind is when you're talking about a media comparison, you know, very often, you know, the media comparisons are focused on print publications. But you know, one thing that's really easy to do, and anyone can do it, is you can go onto Google and you can get a pretty good idea, you know, within a few cents of what someone is paying for a click in AdWords, for example. And just by using that, you know, and by asking a simple question like, you know, how many of your online, you know, of people who visit your website turn into customers, the number will be shockingly low. And with some simple multiplication, you know, it becomes relatively easy to compare, you know, to compare the kind of results that you're seeing from other customers on a per thousand basis to the number of, you know, the amount of results that your advertiser is getting on a per thousand basis online. And I think you'll see that the numbers for print are pretty attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You betcha. So, Jed, let's talk about the second of the three points that we promised to cover. So we're talking about powerful presentations, and the first portion of today we focused on the most frequently asked questions during a presentation. Think about the list that's here. Think about the additional questions that you also are asked beyond the ones that we've covered here. Each of you and all of you have your own unique ones. So the action step from today is what? Expand your list. And then as a team, role play those. Practice handling those questions. Confirm what's in your media kit that shows and shares your advantages related to that. One of those pieces relates to our involvement with associations, and we sprinkled a little bit of that in when we were talking about auto dealers and auto associations and the importance of being involved there, because that gives us the opportunity to get new sales leads, get new visibility, and be able to give our presentations in a powerful way. So industry associations is a very important part because it all links back into giving solid presentations. When we work in the associations that we are focused on within our space and our sector, we get the opportunity to build trust, be very credible, meaning we improve our credibility, we get to showcase our expertise, or gain more knowledge. Like when you heard me earlier talking about car dealers and the number of times a person will come back before making a decision, the average length of purchase, the average cost per call or per lead or per sale, all of those things are at your fingertips, and you know as much or more than the dealers, because at your meeting at 8 o'clock, you learned about, you know, BBACs, and at your meeting at 10 o'clock, you learned about cost per sale, and your meeting with an auto dealer at 2 o'clock, you learned about follow-up and follow-through. By the end of a week, a month, 90 days, in any particular sector, you've got so much information. And so that's the value of when we participate then in their industry associations. We listen to others speaking about relevant topics. We read their publications or the email newsletters or their website blogs or their LinkedIn groups that relate to what's happening in the automotive sector. And all you have to do is replace automotive with the space or the sector that you're in and be able to deploy this. But the most important part about association work is it sets you apart from your competitors. It gives you that wow pop. You're sitting in a meeting. You're giving a presentation. You get to the part in your media kit where you talk about association involvement. And you say, not only are we members of the Automotive Association, but we sit on the trade show committee. We're chairing the black tie upcoming event. We have these two levels of certification related to being part of the association. In fact, we'll also be speaking at your next meeting next month, and here are the three articles that were featured last year and this year in your e-newsletter and your print magazine. The auto dealer sitting on the other side of the table saying, I thought you were here to talk to me about, you know, buying advertising. And you say, I am. But I want you to know my commitment to know the work that we do in your sector. I want you to know the commitment that we have and the way that we're involved so that we can help you succeed. We are more than a page of advertising. We are more than dollars that you put in our newsletter and our website. And that's what sets us apart. The buyer on the other side of the table says, wow, I don't meet many ad salespeople that are that involved and that committed to my sector. Not only are we going to work together, but I also want to talk to you about your presentation that you're making next month. I've got some questions. I'd like to learn more. And that is our goal. That is the goal of the way that we deploy that, because that ties right into the last part of what we're going to cover today. Because there are 18 key and major areas when we're giving presentations. And embedded in there, one of those is our work within the association. There's an entire page focused on the association of working with the auto dealers. And we want to showcase that in our media kit presentation. It is a very important part of our story. And the part to recognize is that your competitors will not include this kind of information in their presentation. At best, they may put a logo to say that they're a member of the Denver Auto Association. Big deal. You have a half or full page entirely focused on your association work. Remember, our goal at the beginning of our Media Biz Power Hour was to close 100% of our opportunities with the intention that ad agencies, ad buyers, media buyers, decision makers are going to stop you, interrupt you, and buy that ad before you even finish your presentation. And we're looking for ways to create those show-stopping moments. Jed, comments and observations on that?
You know, we probably most of the people on this call have had the experience of working with or hiring or being around a sales rep that came from another industry, and one of the first things that tends to happen is that sales rep goes back to the industry that they used to work in and invariably is pretty successful with it. You know, they used to be a real estate agent, and they go back and they talk to, you know, 10 real estate agents, and surprise, surprise, they have a better sales rate than I might, right, not knowing as much about real estate. You know, so that's just, you know, to your point where, you know, knowing about the industry, being involved in it, being able to speak their language and being able to bring more to the table than just this is what I want you to buy, ultimately benefits the bottom line.
It does, Jed. You're exactly right. And as you say, you're right. Realtors selling into realtors, because realtors understand the beat, is exactly what we're talking about. But even if you bring somebody who has an advertising background to sell to realtors, you teach them the language of realtors. You teach them what a BBAC is. You teach them what a pop-up card is. You teach them what farming is. So they know the jargon that realtors utilize. Therefore, they sound like a quasi-realtor. But here's the good news. Over the weeks, months, and years in the sector, without ever being a realtor, you have as much or more knowledge as your realtor advertisers and prospective advertisers. Why? Because you're spending all day long in realtor offices, and you're hearing the best of the best, and that is the key piece. So of the 18 key principles that go in to a powerful media kit presentation, one of those, number 11 of 18 in our order of things, is association work. Number 4 of 18 is about case studies. Case studies are those once-upon-a-time stories. So if we're talking to an auto dealer, we have a case study, generally a third to a half page, and case studies talk about once upon a time we began with a small dealer and they bought a small ad. They grew to a medium size and generated even more results, and they grew their dealership, and then it grew even larger, and this is where they are today. Or, once upon a time, we were working with an automotive dealer who was advertising in publication X or website Y. This is what they were experiencing in terms of the results. Let's call it 10 calls. They came with us, and they're generating 50 calls or 50 clicks or 50 leads. So these are the kinds of things that we build into a media kit that include case studies, the examples. Now, you might be saying, and we saw some of the questions that came in related to this, you might be saying, but gee, you know, I can tell that story. I can share that by voice. We are encouraging you to do that by putting it in writing. It has more credibility. It has more impact, and that's the key, more impact. And that's one of the key components of tying that into your media kit. Another point, we promised we'd cover 4 here today, advertiser satisfaction surveys. And the results from those surveys are a very important part of your media presentation. When you are during the course of a year doing at least 2 or 3 advertiser satisfaction surveys, you accomplish a number of goals, and there's a number of things that we do with advertising satisfaction surveys. But the most important part to recognize is we get to tuck it into our presentation. We get to talk about our advertisers. We get to talk about the kinds of results, the levels of satisfaction, and also the things that have come as a result of listening closely to our advertisers, the way we've expanded into the variety of shows that we attend, the way we expanded our circulation if we're on the paid side or free, if we're on the distribution, if it's free on that side. We've expanded sections in our publication. We've expanded areas on our website. Always be willing to showcase that you're listening to and that you hear what advertisers are showcasing. And then the last point, and we'll wrap up here, is our media comparisons. We mentioned that earlier. Media comparisons are side by side. They do not go in your media kit, but they're in your folder, okay? They're in your folder, and they're at your fingertips, and you deploy your media comparisons with my 3 favorite words that are with your permission. Jed, with your permission, can I show you how we compare, right, to publication A, or newsletter B, or website C? And for those of you that asked the question about doing this from afar, you know, if you're working by phone, then you do not send media comparisons with your media kit, but you have them one click away. So, Jed, if we're rolling along and I'm walking you through my media kit, and I'm talking to you about our case studies, and you say, but, you know, Ernest, in the end, I'm really happy with my current print publication I'm advertising or a current website, oh, that's great. They do a wonderful job, Jed. I would encourage you to continue your advertising with them, but with your permission, I'd like to show you how we compare and how we contrast. Boom. Click, send, media comparisons on your desktop, and now we'll walk through it entirely together. Okay?
Right.
Ah. goodness, we have covered a lot of ground, as we always do, Jed, with lots of banter. We know there were a number of questions that came in. We looked to weave many of your questions right into our presentation today. For those of you that have also sent questions during the course of our MediaBits Power Hour, we hope that we've either answered your question or look for a follow-up email that will send back a reply to you. And if it's even meatier than that, we're more than happy to find 10 or 15 minutes, meet with you or meet with your sales team and talk about those things. Along the way, the things that we talked about here today, every Tuesday we have, Jed, as you know, our Power Hour Advertising Sales Academy. We work on the 18 key points in our presentation, 26 business development strategies, 21 negotiating principles, and 30 sales skills to help you win all day long. We work with ad sales teams and ad sales leaders like you, and that is our focus. So we hope that today has been helpful and beneficial. And Jed, how about some closing words to our group, and then we'll wrap up here.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank Ernest. Great job. I enjoyed hearing everything he had to say. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and we look forward to having you on our call again. I guess would be in September, and hopefully seeing you on MediaBits.
Yep, that would be great. And please, to all of you, take the time to go look at MediaBits.com. Go see how they could work with you and partner with you. They are an invaluable a partner in our sector. They will help you make money. They will help you drive more profitability for you and your ad sales team. Jed, always a pleasure working here together. To all of you, make it a great day, and we'll see you back for our next MediaBits Power Hour. Take care, and we'll be in touch.
Great. Thanks, everyone.